Pot Radio Network is pleased to present Encounter, a public service program here on KSIV that spotlights local Christian events and provides information and resources to enrich your lives. And now, your Encounter host, Judy Redlick.
School choice. Have you heard that term lately a lot and going, gee, there's so much division about it. What is it really all about? And another topic, the four-day school week. Now, how would you like it if your kids only went to school 4 days a week? I know my daughter probably wouldn't like that with two kids, one in kindergarten and one in preschool, and she is a full-time mom worker and her husband is a fireman. But we're going to talk about those two issues today on Encounter. And I couldn't have picked a better person to discuss this with than James Schulz, and he's the Director of Research and Senior Fellow at the Show Me Institute and an Associate Professor of Educational Leadership and Policy Studies at the University of Missouri, St. Louis. Dr. Schulz, welcome to Encounter.
Judy, it's great to be with you. Thank you.
So first of all, let's tackle this whole thing about school choice. It's becoming more of a divided issue, is it not?
It certainly is. I think school choice has always been somewhat of a divided issue, but we're seeing it more often because it is becoming much more of a prominent issue in state legislatures. It is passing throughout the nation. States are expanding programs, creating new programs. And so I think with the rise in prevalence of these programs, that's why you're hearing much more division about it. But people have been talking about and advocating for school choice, or what I like to call educational freedom, for a long time. Yes. This isn't a new issue.
Yes, I agree with that. But what has brought it to the forefront? Do you think that COVID had a direct handle on why it is so talked about today?
Absolutely. I mean, the first private school choice program, a voucher program, began in the 1990s. And they've slowly been expanding over time. And then COVID was like throwing an accelerator on a fire. It really led to a huge increase in the number of school choice programs in a very short period of time. And I think that happened for a variety of reasons. I mean, number one, some parents realized they liked having their kids at home, or they liked doing different types of things. Some people realized they didn't like what the schools were doing. Some people realized that the schools weren't teaching their kids to read, or were teaching their kids things they didn't want them to learn. You know, there are all sorts of things that happened. And it really acted as a catalyst to school choice legislation. And since COVID, we've had a dramatic expansion of school choice programs throughout the country, including here in Missouri.
Can you give us some stats on how COVID made a difference in kids learning to maybe propel people to think more about choosing schools other than the public schools?
Sure. So the best assessment that we have over a long-term period of time nationwide is called NAEP. That stands for the National Assessment of Educational Progress. And for a long time, we've seen very slow, almost steady improvements. I don't mean stark improvements, but slow improvements over time. And then what happened is in the span of a year or two with COVID, we saw 20 years worth of gains basically wiped out, where the students regressed to levels they had been at 20 years ago on the NAEP test. It was a stark impact on students, and it particularly impacted students that are already hard to educate, the students from low-income families, students in poverty, students who rely on our schools were impacted the most, but we saw impacts across the board because of COVID.
Dr. James Schulz is my guest. We're talking about school choice. What are some of the factors that are influencing the division that people are talking about in this process, in this homeschool issue?
Well, I mean, we have the historic sort of groups that support public education, the teachers' unions and all of these groups that believe, for one reason or another, that public education is the only way to go. And then you have a group of people who support school choice for a variety of different reasons. Some people support school choice because the public schools aren't doing a good enough job. We have sort of social justice Democrats sometimes are on board with supporting school choice because they believe it's going to provide better options for disadvantaged families. But then you have other people in that school choice camp who are supporting school choice because they believe in markets and competition, that allowing people to choose their school might lead to improvements in the overall sector. And then a big portion of the people supporting school choice, and I suppose maybe some of your audience members, would be people who support school choice because they want to be able to choose the type of school that aligns with their family's values, is going to align with what their family wants for their kids, whether that's a religious education or a certain type of education, like a classical education or a Montessori education. So what choice is doing is it's reaching all of these different types of individuals who want something different from what the public sector is offering. And as I said earlier, because this is rising so much in our political landscape, we're seeing a lot of tensions that have always been there but are really getting on the front page now.
What happened in the recent legislative sessions toward school choice?
The big thing that happened was Senate Bill 727. Now, this is an omnibus bill, and you and I could spend several sessions sitting down and talking about this bill.
You mean not the single subject bill, but the bill that has like 5 or 10 different things tacked into it?
5 or 10, that would be being charitable. This probably has 20-something things tacked into it. I mean, it touches on so many different portions of education. The bill, though, was built on an expansion to the Missouri Empowerment Scholarship Program. Now, that is a private school choice program and a program that homeschoolers could use as well that is funded by tax credit donations. So, like, if you give $100 to a scholarship organization and you claim that credit, it's like you just paid $100 towards your taxes.
Wow.
So the program is funded by those sort of donations, and then individuals can use those dollars at a private school or to purchase materials for homeschooling. That program was limited. We had it passed a few years ago. And the bill this year was trying to expand it. So it has expanded it to statewide. There are still some limitations on income and some other sorts of things. But it's now expanded statewide. And the legislators who were trying to get that passed did everything that they could to get that done. And what that means oftentimes in the legislature is a lot of horse trading, you know, a lot of what would it take to get you to vote for this bill? And so we saw an increase in teacher salaries. We saw changes to the 4-day school week, which I know we're going to talk about, and a whole host of other things in this bill. But the key thing from the school choice perspective is it expanded the Mo Scholars program. And to get ahead of where your question might go, if people want to learn more about that program, they should really check out the state treasurer's office or just Google Missouri Empowerment Scholarship Accounts and find
Missouri
out more.
Missouri Empowerment Scholarship Accounts.
That's
to
right.
Learn more. Now, what runs through my mind is the 529 plans and the different plans like that that help with education, even though they may not directly be involved with homeschool, I mean home choice. How do they fit into this mix?
So this is different from a 529 plan. A 529 plan, you would put your own money into that account and it could gain interest over time. And then you, when you put money into that account, you could use it to pay for your own kids' private school tuition, and you would get a deduction on your taxes for what you put into the account. That is different from what I'm talking about here, which is a credit towards your taxes. You know, if you put $100 into that account for your own child, you would get a small deduction for how much you contributed into that account. Whereas the credit in this Missouri Empowerment Scholarship Program is a dollar for dollar match. But the difference is you don't put it in your own child's account. This isn't the same sort of thing. It's not like you're funding your own education, but it's people donating to scholarship accounts and other people's children benefiting from those donations in the form of scholarships. So it's not the same thing. You're not funding your own kid directly, but you could put dollars in those accounts and it could provide scholarships to lots of other students.
So what are some of the drawbacks that people are seeing in the school choice program as it stands now? Or is it going to be happening this fall for those of us who have kids in parochial schools?
Well, the school choice programs are going to keep expanding. If you ask some of the drawbacks, there are lots of criticisms from people who are opposed to school choice. You know, some people believe that public schools are the best thing for democracy because it brings people together. But there have been a variety of studies that have shown that private schools can also produce very good citizens who are very concerned about the rights and needs of others. So I don't think that's a very good concern. There's also the concern that this would lead to individuals choosing religious schools. You might be shocked, but some people are opposed to people having private school options funded in this way, where people could choose a religious school or a Christian school or something that they disagree with. And that's where I think a lot of this opposition boils down to, is people who oppose school choice oftentimes oppose it because they don't want to allow people to make decisions they disagree with.
Wow. Like a church-state type issue.
Well, it kind of is a church-state type issue. I hear people say this all the time. I'll support school choice if those private schools do everything that the public schools do. You know, if we can regulate them in the exact same way that we regulate private schools. But that's exactly what we're trying to avoid here, mm-hmm. right? We want people to be able to choose the type of school that aligns with their values, that meets the needs of their kids. And so from my perspective, programs that expand educational options and allow people to choose the schools that are best for them and their children are the way to go. And every policy that advances that is good. Now, there are tweaks that I would like to see to this current bill. There are improvements that I would like to see made. But as long as we continue to expand options for kids, I'm all for it.
Dr. James Scholes is my guest. He is the Director of Research and a Senior Fellow at the Show Me Institute and an Associate Professor of Educational Leadership and Policy Studies at the University of Missouri, St. Louis. Now, Dr. Scholes, we only have about a minute left. Where can people find out the scoop about what's happening in school choice?
Well, check out the Show Me Institute's website. We have a blog and a podcast where people can learn a lot, not just about this issue of school choice, but all of the issues we touch on. It's showmeinstitute.org.
Showmeinstitute.org. Hey, I'm Judy Redlick. This is Encounter. We'll be right back. What do you think about the 4-day school week? Well, Dr. Scholes is going to stay with me. We're going to discuss that. Please stay tuned, won't you?
If you've listened to me at any time at all, or you've been friends with me, you know that I love to help people tell their story. Another thing I enjoy doing is helping people find their highest potential. If you're in a life's rut and you just can't figure out how to get past your stuck place, a life coach like me could help. Let me walk with you through your journey of transition. I'm a Christian life coach, and to find out more about my coaching, go to my coaching page at judyredlick.com or email me at jredlickspeaks@gmail.com.
And we're back. This is Encounter. I'm Judy Redlick, and I am talking to Dr. James Scholes. He's with the Show Me Institute, and they have been studying education for years. And we told you in the last segment we were going to talk about the 4-day school week. So here we go. Dr. Scholes, are you ready?
I'm ready.
So tell us what that is and what it means.
Sure. So I think it was about 2016 or 2017, somewhere in that time frame, the Missouri State Legislature changed the rules about the number of school days that the districts had to go, the public schools had to go. They used to have a requirement that they had a certain number of hours and a certain number of days.
Wasn't it 174 days?
It was something like that, but they removed the days completely.
Really?
So there was no requirement for the number of days, only for the number of hours. And we saw this tremendous spike in the number of school districts that are on a 4-day school week.
Hmm.
It is now about one third of Missouri's public schools are 4-day school weeks. It's about half of our rural school districts.
Wow, that's amazing. And for rural school districts, I guess people who live in rural areas love to have their kids home working on the farm that 5 day.
Well, I think some people really do like the 4-day school week. My own nephews are really good motocross racers. They go around the country racing dirt bikes, and so they're constantly traveling on the weekends to races. Well, for them, it's nice to have an extra day to travel, and so the 4-day school week works well. But it doesn't work well for everyone. I mean, even in districts that are doing this and touting their results, you still see surveys where it's, say, at least a quarter of the parents saying they dislike it. And that can be a significant number of people that are really harmed by this move to the 4-day school week. So we had an opportunity at the Show Me Institute to start studying this. And I want to tell you up front, my thinking about it going into our analysis was, I actually don't care about whether or not someone wants the 4-day school week or a 5-day school week. I would like to let people choose that for themselves because, you know, in the private school sector, there are lots of innovative models where people are even doing 3-day weeks with hybrid homeschooling or these sorts of things. So I'm not really concerned about whether or not someone goes 3 or 4 or 5, but I wanted to know, what does the data say? And so we dug in to see, what does the literature say about this? And you might not be surprised that when you have kids go into school less often, they tend to do worse. The academic studies are pretty clear that it has a small negative effect on academics. Now, the reason that districts say they want to do this is to attract more teachers and to potentially save money. And our analyses show that that doesn't really pan out. There's not a lot of literature that supports that. And so districts are making these moves, big, significant moves, without enough evidence to support their claims.
Well, just like kids stayed home during COVID without too much discussion about it, they just did it. And there wasn't a lot of curricular plans put in place by the teachers to help the kids really learn and the parents have the tools they need.
Right. And this is the key difference, in my opinion, between private schools doing some sort of model like this and public schools doing it. When private schools make the model, or like I said, a hybrid homeschooling or a parent co-op or something along these lines, they're usually doing it because of the pedagogical approach, because of they believe that this instructional model would be good to blend home and school, to build the relationship between parents and teachers. You know, there are reasons why they do that sort of thing that are based on the education itself. When public schools make this move, they don't do it because they think it's better educationally. They do it because they think it's better for the adults. And that's not a good reason, in my opinion.
No, that's not a good reason. That's not a good reason. Dr. James Scholes is my guest. He is the Director of Research and Senior Fellow at the Show Me Institute in Missouri. And he's an Associate Professor of Educational Leadership and Policy Studies at the University of Missouri, St. Louis. Now, Dr. Scholes, where are we now, and what do people need to know this summer as they're thinking about schooling this fall?
Sure. So that Senate Bill 727, which I mentioned before, that had all of those different things in it, one of the things it had in there is it reinstituted a minimum number of days, but it did make a distinction between 4-day school week districts and 5-day school week districts. So there's a new requirement in there in terms of the number of days, and I'm forgetting the exact numbers off the top of my head. But it also put in place a requirement for a vote of the people in certain size districts. If you're in a larger district and they want to make a move to a 4-day school week, they have to put it to a vote of the people. I think this will lead to a slow in the increasing number of districts making this move. But I would say for parents, when you're trying to decide what you want to do with your kid, you need to be educated yourself. You need to be looking at the resources, finding out how good your local schools are, finding what the options are for you. If you're in St. Louis, you have options for charter schools, and some of them can be very good. So explore the options, find what's best for you. And luckily, we're increasing the number of those options that where you can get support through that Missouri Empowerment Scholarship Program. So look into these things, educate yourself, find out what's available to you, and try to find the type of school that you think is going to be best for your kids.
What key questions should parents ask their current school district and the school they're thinking about using for school choice?
This is a great question. Your question's great, Ed. Here's what I asked. Because I believe in a certain type of educational philosophy. So I went to my kid's first grade teacher, and I said, what's the best book my kid will read in your class this year? And when the teacher told me, oh, they might read anything they like. They might read about dump trucks or dragons or dinosaurs. Whatever it is, that's good. And I went to the private school where my kids are currently enrolled, and I asked them, what's the best book? And they said, we have a great selection. We're going to be reading Charlotte's Web. We're going to be reading, they just went down the list.
They had the list.
They had terrific books. And so for me, that was the question, because it let me know the type of education they were going to receive. But maybe you want something else. Maybe arts are your thing. Find out what the school believes. And this is my concern with many of our public schools, is they don't have a coherent educational philosophy. And there are rich, wonderful educational philosophies out there. Find out what it is that you and your child would benefit from, and find the school that's delivering that for your kids.
And where do you start on that research?
Oh, man. Well, for one, you've got to start with your own kid, finding out, and your own family. What is it that makes them tick, or that what is it about your family that you value? That's a good place to start. Then, in terms of research, you could visit, like I said, showmeinstitute.org to find out about the options that are out there.
And that's showmeinstitute.org.
That's right. If you want to find out about the Mo Scholars Program, I said the first place I would check is the state treasurer's office. And then there are lots of other resources out there. GreatSchools.com is a website that sort of rates schools. You can find out what's available in your area. There are almost too many places for you to start for me to even give you a whole list of these things.
But at least you've given us a few,
right,
that you might want to look at. You know, your children's education is so critical. And if you got a good education when you were young, like I did, it's worth it to spend that extra time to do the research. We don't have a lot of time left, Dr. Scholes. What would you say to parents in closing? You've got about a minute.
Well, as you said, education is incredibly important. And we have been, our society, I think, has been conditioned to say, you just send your kids to the local public school. That's where you're zoned. That's where they should go. And in many cases, the local public school can be a terrific option for people. But it's not the right option for everyone. And so my point is, find out what's best for you, whether that's the local public school, homeschooling, a private education, and explore those options. And whatever you choose, don't try to limit what other people want to choose for their own kids, because they deserve options too.
And if you have special needs kids, your advice?
Many people believe that school choice isn't good precisely because of special needs kids. They believe that private schools can't meet their needs. And so therefore we shouldn't have these programs because those students are better served in the public school system. And I think in many cases, the public school system does well, but in many cases it does not. And special needs students need options just as much, if not more, than traditional public school students. So one of the things that expansion to the Mo Scholars Program does is it allows the scholarship amount to be higher for special needs students.
Really?
Because that's one of the concerns, is private schools don't have the resources to serve these students. Well, now they're going to get more money for a special needs student than they had in the past. That's one improvement in the bill.
That's wonderful.
And the other thing to know is these empowerment scholarships are flexible. What that means is you can purchase different types of services for students. A student might need a therapeutic horseback riding lesson. That could potentially be purchased through an ESA, this Empowerment Scholarship Program. Special needs students can get the types of services they need with the flexibility of those accounts, and they can't get that flexibility usually in the traditional public school system.
And they might need special equipment or a special teacher to help them learn how to use that equipment.
Exactly. And these empowerment scholarship accounts are flexible for that exact reason. They don't just have to be used at a private school. They could be used in a number of different ways to find what works for these types of students.
Dr. James Schulz has been my guest. Why, this has been very interesting. And I hope that you all will go and listen to botradionetwork.com and replay this show so you can think more about your children or your grandchildren's education. If you'd like to get a hold of Dr. Schulz or any of the staff at the Show Me Institute, Dr. Schulz is a director of research and senior fellow at the Show Me Institute and an associate professor of educational leadership and policy studies at the University of Missouri, St. Louis. How can they reach out?
I think the best way is to find us at showmeinstitute.org. You can find our blog, our podcast. You can find my email there. That's the best way to get in touch with us.
Awesome. I'm Judy Redlick. This is Encounter. Thank you so much for taking your time to come to the studio today. And thank you all for listening. See you next week.
This has been Encounter with Judy Redlick, informing listeners on local Christian events and matters that affect your lives. Spread the word and invite people to listen to Encounter on KSIV or online at botradionetwork.com.
Check out more of Judy's interviews at judyredlick.com. That's JUDYREDLICH.com. Or email her at judyredlickspeaks@gmail.com. Friend her on Facebook, connect with her on LinkedIn. And if you want to learn how your business could be a sponsor on Judy Redlick's website, email her at jredlickspeaks@gmail.com.